Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, March the 24th, in the wake of Pope Francis's words of appreciation for a draft peace agreement between Azerbaijan and Armenia, we look at the terms of the draft deal over disputed Northern Karabakh. Egypt proposes a new ceasefire plan for Gaza. And a Vatican longevity summit shines the light on an aging world population and on the need to find ways to ensure a good quality of life for the elderly that is equally accessible to all. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. In his greeting to the faithful on Sunday, Pope Francis welcomed the recent breakthrough in peace negotiations between Armenia and Azerbaijan, a breakthrough that could finally settle their decades-long boundary dispute over the separatist region of Northern Karabakh. The Pope said this progress offers hope that other conflicts ravaging the world may also find a path to resolution through dialogue and goodwill. Lisa Zingarini tells us more about the draft treaty and its background.
On March the 13th, Armenian and Azerbaijani officials announced that they had reached an agreement in principle on the substantive terms of a peace treaty, though some issues still remain open. The two post-Soviet countries have been engaged in conflict since the late 80s, when Northern Karabakh, a region in Azerbaijan, at the time home to around 120,000 ethnic Armenians, broke away from Azerbaijan with the support from Armenia. The outbreak of hostilities prompted mass expulsion of hundreds of thousands of mostly Muslim Azeris from Armenia and Armenians from Azerbaijan. The conflict flared again in September 2023 when a lightning military operation saw Azerbaijan regain total control of Northern Karabakh, resulting in the end of the self-proclaimed Armenian Republic of Artsakh and prompting over 70,000 ethnic Armenians to flee to Armenia. Throughout these developments, Pope Francis has consistently advocated for a peaceful solution, underscoring the importance of respecting international law, ensuring the rights of displaced persons to return home, and safeguarding places of worship. Peace talks between Baku and Yerevan started in late summer 2024 and focused on 17 points. In the latest rounds of discussions, Armenia finally accepted Azerbaijan's proposals on not deploying forces from third countries along the borders and on the mutual withdrawal of claims from international instances and the commitment not to take actions against each other. However, the understanding has not yet addressed the long-standing issue of the amendments to the Armenian constitution required by Azerbaijan to eliminate claims against its sovereignty and territory. I am Lisa Zingarini.
In his greeting on Sunday to the faithful just before being discharged from hospital, Pope Francis also appealed for a stop to the heavy Israeli bombing in Gaza, where over 50,000 people have been killed since the launch of an offensive against Hamas on the 7th of October 2023. Hundreds of people more have died in Gaza since Israel resumed its bombardments following a two-month ceasefire. In an effort to halt the violence once more, Egypt has put forward a new ceasefire plan, which includes the gradual return of the remaining hostages, a proposal to which Hamas has agreed. As Francesca Merlo reports, the next move lies with Israel, which has so far remained silent on the matter.
Egypt has proposed a new ceasefire plan to restore peace in Gaza, a move that comes as Palestinian health officials report that at least 65 people have been killed by Israeli airstrikes in the last 24 hours. The proposal for a new ceasefire deal introduced last week follows a surge in violence after Israel resumed air and ground operations against Hamas, ending a two-month ceasefire. Health officials say nearly 700 Palestinians have been killed since the attacks resumed, including at least 400 women and children. These most recent attacks and deaths have brought the death toll in Gaza since the 7th of October 2023 to over 50,000. Under the newly proposed Egyptian plan, Hamas would release 5 Israeli hostages each week, with Israel implementing the next phase of the ceasefire after the first week. Hamas is believed to still be holding 59 hostages, 24 of whom are thought to be alive. While the United States and Hamas have agreed to the proposal, Israel has yet to respond. The Egyptian plan also includes a timeline for Israel's full withdrawal from Gaza, backed by US guarantees in exchange for the hostages' release. Hamas has accused Israel of violating the January ceasefire agreement, but is reportedly open to negotiations. Meanwhile, Israel says its military operations aim to pressure Hamas into releasing hostages and claims to minimize civilian harm. As the civilian death toll continues to rise, in Rafah, thousands remain trapped in Tel al-Sultan as Israeli forces push deeper into the area. The United Nations reports that 124,000 people have been displaced in recent days, warning of a worsening humanitarian catastrophe due to blockade, soaring food prices, and a lack of basic necessities. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Negotiations are underway in Saudi Arabia between the US and Russia, centred on achieving a maritime ceasefire in the Black Sea region. As Joseph Tullock reports, the talks follow the negotiations held yesterday, Sunday, the 23rd of March, between the US and Ukrainian officials.
At a meeting in Saudi Arabia, US and Russian officials are holding talks aimed at making progress toward a ceasefire deal in Ukraine. US officials have said that they are aiming for a limited Black Sea maritime ceasefire as a step toward a wider agreement. The talks, which followed US negotiations with Ukraine in Saudi Arabia on Sunday, come as US President Donald Trump intensifies his drive to end the 3-year conflict. Last week, Trump spoke to both Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and Russian President Vladimir Putin. One of the Russian participants in today's talks has been cited by Interfax News Agency as saying that the consultations were progressing creatively and that the two sides had discussed issues regarded as irritants in their bilateral ties. Beyond a Black Sea ceasefire, the US has said that the teams will discuss the line of control between the two countries on the land, with the aim of freezing the lines where they are. The official added that confidence-building measures are being discussed, including the return of Ukrainian children taken by Russia. The Kremlin said that the talks would focus on the idea of reviving the so-called Black Sea Initiative, a deal struck in July 2022 that allowed the export of nearly 33 million metric tons of Ukrainian grain across the Black Sea. Russia withdrew from that agreement in 2023. Speaking to journalists last week, Holy See Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin noted that Russia seems to have set certain conditions around the ceasefire deal. "We hope," Cardinal Parolin said, "that no preconditions will be imposed that would prevent the initiation of dialogue." The Cardinal went on to stress the Holy See's support for the talks and its hope that they will lead to further negotiations that can, quote, "bring an end to the war and establish the just and lasting peace for which we have long hoped." Since Ukraine has finally expressed its willingness, Cardinal Parolin concluded, "we hope that there will also be willingness from the other side to initiate the ceasefire and put an end to the war." I'm Joseph Tullock.
In Turkey, the government has reported that 1,133 people have been arrested during 5 days of protests across the nation. Nathan Morley reports.
Overnight, clashes between police and protesters erupted in various cities and towns across Turkey and even in northern Cyprus. The protests were sparked by the detention of Istanbul's mayor, Ekrem İmamoğlu, an outspoken critic of President Tayyip Erdogan. He was arrested on Wednesday over corruption charges. A prominent figure in the opposition Republican People's Party, the CHP, and the mayor of Turkey's largest city, he's widely regarded as Erdogan's most formidable rival. The 54-year-old politician shocked Mr. Erdogan and his ruling Justice and Development Party, or AK, by retaining control of Istanbul in last year's municipal elections, securing a second consecutive mandate. During the demonstrations last night, the leader of the CHP party, Yücel Gücel, addressed the crowds.
"By keeping him in prison for 4 days, sending him to court while Turkey was going to the presidential primary polls for him, and sending him to prison while Turkey was electing him, President Erdogan defied not only him, but millions more, and attempted to stage a coup."
In response to the situation, the European Commission has urged Turkey to uphold democratic values. It's emphasized its role as a member of the Council of Europe and a candidate state for EU membership. Guillaume Mercier, a Commission spokesman, said that the EU and the European Commission wanted Turkey to remain anchored to Europe, but this required a clear commitment to democratic norms and practices. Meanwhile, the Greek government has also weighed in, describing the political developments in Turkey as being worrying. It also stated that undermining the rule of law and civil liberties simply could not be tolerated. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
The Vatican Longevity Summit, challenging the clock of time, organised by the Pontifical Academy for Life, is taking place on the afternoon of Monday, the 24th of March, at the Pontifical Patristic Institute Augustinianum in Rome. Participating in that summit, amongst other key speakers, is Dr. Venkatraman Ramakrishnan, the 2009 Nobel Prize winner in chemistry. In an interview with Vatican Radio, he highlighted that major questions are being raised when considering longevity in an aging world.
We're at a crossroads in terms of where we are in terms of life expectancy. So biology has made great strides in understanding the causes of aging, and for the first time is trying to see if we can do something about tackling aging itself as opposed to tackling specific diseases. And this has broad social and biomedical implications. At the same time, there's a great deal of money that has gone into research, a lot of it from private investment. I also wonder how this is distorting priorities, and I wonder what will happen if there is success. What will that mean, and what will it mean for society if we all start living longer?
Living healthier, what is necessary or could contribute to such a trend?
Well, I've written a book called Why We Die. In the process of writing the book, I came to the conclusion that the trio of a moderate and healthy diet, regular exercise, and adequate sleep is probably better than anything out on the market today in terms of supplements or drugs. Now, to that you can add avoiding social isolation and having a sense of purpose in life, because social studies have shown that both of those can improve mortality and health in old age.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, you know, we're here because of the Vatican's interest, and of course everybody is aware that the Pope has been very ill and has only just recovered. He's 88 years old, and I would say he needs to follow the advice of his doctors, but as he gets better, the trio that did would work for him just as it would for anybody else.
That was Nobel Prize winner Dr. Venkatraman Ramakrishnan speaking there to Vatican Radio's Deborah Castellano-Lubov. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can join us tomorrow at the same time for more. Meanwhile, you can follow our stories on our website at vaticannews.va and catch the latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. My thanks go to Alberto Giovannetti in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.